I think we're going to be in Matthew 28, if y'all want to turn there, and I'll be there in a minute. 28:16 through 20. If you read your Bible any, that might be familiar to you. If it's not, it'll be familiar to you when you leave today. Put it that way. All right, so before we get there, though, so it's been a busy week, so to speak, and as a pastor, and that's fine. That's what I'm here for. And so I went to a funeral on my friend's son's in Lufkin the other day, and I stole a statement that the preachers made and stuff. So I found out too, as to my little short tenure as a pastor, you steal things from other pastors and people. So anyway. But before I say it, so, you know, it's not if you're going to have some problems or troubles. It's when. Okay? And so my saying that, or his saying that he said, so don't look at God through your circumstances. Look at your circumstances through God. Let that sink in a minute. Don't let your circumstances, let me put it in our Oakhurst terms. Don't let your circumstances dictate how you, your relationship with God. Let God dictate how you handle your circumstances. Instead of having God with you. But, you know, there's a process here too, though. You got to know God. You got to receive God. So let me just give you some, before I get into the sermon, this is extra stuff that came to me a while ago. So knowing God transforms our lives, okay? I'm going to give you a little laundry list of what knowing God can do. And you can use these for your circumstances coming up. Knowing a holy God, you got to know a holy God. He said, I can be holy. The scripture says in Psalm 34, I can be holy because he is holy. Okay, so that's it. Then knowing a faithful God, Hebrews 10:23, I can rest upon his promises. Okay, and each one of these, we could probably make a sermon out of each one of these, but I'm just going to give you just a flowing list here. Here's a good one. Knowing a changeless God. He's the same as was yesterday, today, and forever. I can trust his word. That's Numbers 23:19. You can trust his word. And he's not going to change. Your circumstances may change around you, but your one consistent that you got, or constant you got, is God. He's not going to change. He's the same. Knowing a powerful God. This is scripture in Jeremiah 32:17. If you know God, I can conquer any circumstance, but because of him. Okay? Because of him. Whatever happens in this life, I talked to Brother Tom Lowe this morning. I steal some of his stuff too. And stuff. Because what is this life? Well, I like how he says it. Temporary at best. Temporary. Knowing a good God, I can depend on God's goodness through my triumphs and trials. Psalms 105, where that came from. Read the book of James. About your triumphs and trials. How? And just think about your personal experiences and stuff you had when you come through it, get to the other side. If you got God involved in it, it draws you closer to him. Knowing an all-knowing God, I can rely on his understanding. His understanding. And let me tell you this, that you don't understand. all of it. We don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on God's. That's what we got to do. We got these two families that lost loved ones. They don't have the answers. Why? In this life, they probably never will. Most likely, don't know why. But you got to. But God does. God's plan. That takes a lot of faith. And how are you going to get that faith? You got to, the more you know Him, the closer you get to Him, build your faith. It takes a lot of faith to deal with that kind of stuff. Knowing a sovereign God, I can rest in Him because He is in control. No matter what happens, no matter how bad this world looks or what comes down the pike, He never loses control. He has it. Knowing an ever-present God. Do you feel God in your presence? Do you feel that Holy Spirit? That's a good question to ask yourself. I can rest in Him. No. I missed one. I can be strong, for God is always with me. He's always there. Don't let circumstances pull you away from Him. That's the flesh. We tend to do that sometimes. And don't forget when things are going good either that He's still there. He's going to be there. The last one. Knowing a loving God. I can know... Sorry, Gerald. I can know that nothing will separate me from His love. Nothing. Nothing. Even our stupid stuff that we do on our own won't separate you from Him. He has you. If you truly have Him from the get-go, you got God. That's Romans 8:38-39. Just let you know. Just because of all the circumstances that have been going on this week and stuff, that's not the sermon. That's the bonus. Just felt that I need to put that out there. Because like I said back in the first of this, it's not if you have issues or problems or trials, it's when. And I can tell you this too, it won't be a one and done. You get through this one, there'll be another one. Just know it. What did Jesus say to Matthew? He said, in this world you'll have many troubles. If He went through it, you're going to go through it. What exempts us? Nothing. We've got to have it. So, you know, I like to preach and talk a lot about discipleship, working, you know, and I jokingly say, get off the pew, do something. You know, that's what we're called to do. God's purpose. And I get asked this a lot. I don't know what my purpose is. You might not know the details, but I tell you where a good start is to do what He tells you to do in Matthew 28:16-20. Let me read it. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. And we can get in that in a little bit. Then Jesus came to them and said, now y'all listen to these words. This is, if you in your Bible, it's red. That's Jesus' words. Give you a clue. Hard crowd, I tell you. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. You want to know what your purpose is? Go listen to this part. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the Trinity. Okay? You got to have all three. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, now this is what We'll close here in an hour or two on I am with you always to the very end of age. So that's what we're going to hang our hat on here in a little bit. Okay? And so I know what your question, I know what's going through your head, some of you, because I get this verbally from other people. You know, he said, go make disciples of all nations. Well, I can't go overseas. Okay, hold that thought. You know, all over the world. I can't go all over the world. Okay, hang on. We got to answer that too. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptizing. I thought only preachers did that. We'll cover that too. And teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. Okay, I'm not a teacher. Really? We'll discuss that. So we're gonna break this down. And a lot of us probably read this, I don't know how many times, over the years ago. But you know, I'm gonna put this emphasis, so this ain't part of the sermon, this is extra too. You notice he said go. He said nothing about coming back. Nothing. Okay. So I'm going to give you an insight and answer to all these questions, just the basic one. I don't know how many is in here. 150. So just joking. 30. If each one of you, us, me included, if each one of us witnessed to one person, now, you know, I told you before, I wasn't too good in school. I don't know how I got in there, out of there, but that's double. So you already multiplied what you witnessed to, right? That's just one person. Just see how it keeps building, mushrooming, however you want to use that. So, but let's talk about how to do that. Like I said, you got to know God. How you know God? How you get to know God? What do you got to start with? I always get to mention my favorite scripture pretty much all the time. John 14:6. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? So first of all, you got to go through Christ. And I'll tell you this. All these instructions he gave us, you or I cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it. We can't even come close to doing it. But through him, God's grace, his son, died on that cross and did it for us. So just think about what they sacrificed, God, his son, and stuff. And all he is spacious to do, and I say all like it's nothing, it is something, but all he wants us to do is go spread his word. And we'll look at how that entails here in a little bit. Jesus' final instructions to his disciples after his resurrection, he did bust up out of that grave. Y'all know that, right? Yeah, he's alive, right? And so he did die for us, but he also come out of there for us too. And before his ascension, that means go up in the air, okay? He did that too. He went back to heaven. It serves as a foundational mandate for Christian evangelism and discipleship. I'm going to tell you right now, if you know Jesus Christ, you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you're a Christian, you truly are a Christian, you're either an evangelist or you're a disciple, or both. Well, you're always a disciple. So we can talk about that. This commission, notice it wasn't a task, it wasn't a suggestion. He commissioned us. I don't know much about being commissioned. You know, I just completed a law enforcement career. I get commissioned for authority to make arrests and stuff through the state of Texas. All that stuff. Well, we'll talk about that. But that's what commission is. It's more than just doing it. The commission is the core mission of the Christian church. Now, you notice I said Christian church. You can call yourself, what do you want to call yourself? What denomination? And there's nothing wrong with none of that. Nothing wrong with it. But the Christian church, it first of all is us, the body. You know, we talked about that not too long ago. One body, one God, one spirit. We're all on the same team for the same goal that Jesus commissioned us to do. And that's what we need to work on. Calling believers to actively. I always get hung up on this word. Because that means do something, if y'all don't know what that means. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, and I ain't, it's coming in here at 11 o'clock on Sunday, sitting there, then going home, don't do nothing the rest of the week, that's not active. I'm just going to put it out there like that. Okay? That's not active. Actively, daily, we got to be working for God, doing what He's called us to do. Calling believers to actively participate in establishing God's kingdom on earth by sharing the good news. What's the good news? Let me tell you another word for it. The Gospels. That's what gospel means. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Your Gospels. The good news. Jesus. That's the Gospels. That's the good news. So I'm telling you all this stuff so somebody asks you, what's the Gospels? It's that good news of Jesus. Okay? And helping others grow in their faith. And I've told a bunch of times, said it a bunch of times, when somebody gets baptized back here, we ain't finished with them. Don't think it's all good, they're ready to go. And so, because Satan's got another plan. And he's going to come. You know, if you don't do nothing for God, you ain't got to worry about Satan. Because he already has you. So there's no reason for him to do anything. Now, when you go forward with God and do what he wants you to do, you're going to have some issues. You're going to have some problems, stumbling blocks. He's going to try to derail you, lack of better words. So that's the overview of what the Great Commission is. So let's start with the first part of it, verse 18. The authority of Jesus. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Let me give you a definition of all. All. Everything. Right? He has it. There's nothing anywhere in this universe, however you want to break it down. And so if you want to call it Big Bang Theory, that's okay. God did have a Big Bang. He did something. But God created everything, and he is completely, totally in control of every aspect of everything. And he's got all the authority. So in order to give orders, you got to have authority of some sort, right? So there you go. So he gave you the authority. He has the authority to give you the authority. It declares Jesus' universal authority. Universal is everywhere. Wherever. I don't know. I don't know how far. I don't know how big the galaxy is. The universe, big. If you can think of it, he's in authority of it, control of it. Establishes the basis for the command that follows. And now we're gonna get into the meat and potatoes of the deal here. Okay, what's it mean to go? What's it mean to do all this stuff? So first of all, the first command was go. We're going to go, implies intentional action and movement. He's going to give you the authority, or he has the authority to give you what he wants you to do, the commission. But guess what you got to do? You got to do it. You don't have to. He ain't going to force you. He may make you wish you would have listened to him. But he's not going to force you to do it. If I have to force you to do something or force you to be my friend, that's not genuine. That's not the real deal. So God's not going to force you to do anything. He's just going to tell you what he wants you to do. And he told you to go. And you got to do something with it. And I'll tell you this, it's not passive. It calls for engagement with the world. You know, in order to get a reaction, first of all, you got to have an action. I say that a lot. You got to do something first. You got to get that spark going to get a fire. You got to do something. Make disciples of all nations. Central command, making followers of Christ. That's what we need to do. Emphasize all everybody, all ethnic groups and people. It's our job to witness to everybody, no matter where they're from, what they are, what color they are, what country they live in, what they've done, what they hadn't done, if you like them or not. Take all that out. It don't matter. All people. What's the definition of all? All. Yeah, see? It ain't that hard. It's pretty simple. I'll go back to, because they're making disciples of all nations. And I say, you know, not everybody's called to go to Africa or wherever to do a mission. But you can still reach people in your backyard. That person can reach somebody else that may live in Houston. That person in Houston may fly to L.A. for a business trip or whatever, witness somebody there that works overseas. See how that works? We can do it. If you give it to God, in any situation, but you give it to God, and I'll tell you, be careful when you give it to God and say, Lord, I do whatever you want me to do. You just tell me, okay? You better hang on. You better hang on. You be like me, you be up here. Or whatever he has you to do. And we know, we got to do it. We got to obey. So we got to reach everybody, however that reaching is that he calls you to do. And I'm not going to tell you what to do, how to do it. There ain't no right or wrong way, just as long as you do it. It could be simply picking up the phone, witnessing somebody, checking on them. To go by the hospital. Hey, just checking on you. Say, how's it going? Obviously not too good. I'm in here, but anyway. So it's do the simple things and to build on that. Get your foundation going. Baptizing them. Now, we mentioned it last week a little bit. Let me talk about a couple of things first. So we do the water baptism, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? That's a sign of obedience to what he wants you to do. Before you get to this point, I'm making it basic here. You're going to reach somebody. They're going to accept Christ. I accepted Christ. Then out of obedience, their profession of faith, they're going to come show that we got baptized, that they were saved. Water baptism does not save you. Let's make that clear. It's important. Out of obedience, we need to do it. Just like the Lord's Supper. In obedience, in remembrance of me. That don't save you. And I'm putting emphasis on that. I know I'm preaching to a lot of the choir here. Y'all know. But this stuff is out there. People are, they need to know the truth. All of it. They need to know what they need to be doing. So who has authority to baptize? A pastor only? How about this? How about if you're a Christian, you're a disciple of Christ, it's a sign of initiation into the Christian faith. Done in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A symbol of the new life and belonging to the triune God. Triune is a big word for three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's three of them. And there's another set of threes I'm going to throw in there. death, burial, resurrection. If you want to make it four, then he ascended. So there's your baptism. What he tells us to do. Let me back up. Just want to get this point across. I'm not trying to get out of baptizing people. I do it. But what I'm saying is, and stuff, well, we got to wait for a preacher to get here. Once the preacher's on a hunting trip. Hunting season's coming up here pretty quick, deacons. That's funny. We're going to have a, hey, November, we're going to have a camo day. We're all going to wear camo. All right. Y'all want to donate shells or something? Y'all go ahead. That's fine. If you don't like hunting, I'm sorry. You know, everybody can't have it all. Oh, see, anyway, we're going to back up here real quick. So baptize them. We're going to go, we're going to make disciples, and we're going to baptize them. And so if God commissioned his disciples, which is everybody that accepted Christ, to do those things, okay, not just the position, the pastor, whatever. It's disciples, all disciples of Christ has the authority through him, because he has the authority to give it to us, and that's what he did. Then the fourth thing, so it's, you know, worse than fours here today, teaching them to obey everything I command you. Now look, let me back up just for a second too. You call yourself a Christian, you can't get, so that's okay. You can call yourself what you want to, but if you're truly a Christian, you're good to go. And so you cannot give nothing away that you don't have. Okay, if you don't have Christ, you can't give it to somebody else or preach it to somebody else. Okay, so let's make sure. Then it says, teaching them to obey. That's our fourth thing that we do as Christians, what he told us to do. We're going to teach them. How are you going to teach if you ain't opened your Bible so long that you got not the dust off of it? You can't teach unless you know what you're teaching about. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to go to a doctor's degree in seminary or whatever. You don't have to do all that. He didn't say that. He just said, but all he wants you to simply do is be in his word. Get closer to him. The more you know of him, the closer you get to him, the more you can share it with other people and reach other people. And we talked last week, you know, there's one body, all Christians, we're one body. You know why? I thought about this for a long time. My simple mind is I can reach people that Dan can't reach. Vice versa, that's all of us. He can reach people that I can't reach. One body, but there's many members for that purpose. He goes to places that I don't go, sees people that I don't see. And that's the same for Agent Number One. I'm just picking on him. That's the same for all of us. And we got to teach them. And we're teaching them to obey what he's commanded. Read his word. Know his word. Know what you're talking about. And don't get hung up on, well, I need to study a little bit longer before I do it. You know, I don't know enough. Well, let me tell you, you ain't never going to know enough, first of all. And look, if I witness to somebody and they ask me something I don't know, guess what I'm going to tell them? I don't know. But we're going to research it together, or I know somebody that may know it. We'll figure it out. Don't act like you know all of it, because we don't.
Tell them what you do know.
Yeah, exactly. Tell them what you do know. At the very least, tell them, hey, this is what I do know. In order to know what you want to know, you got to know Christ. I mean, that's it. Discipleship involves ongoing learning and obedience. Notice that? Ongoing. I don't care if you got saved at 5 years old and you're 103. You never stop learning God's word, staying in his word, and learning obedience. We learn as we go. We learn as we go. I want to throw this in here. This kind of jumped out at me. Knowing Christ, reaching people for Christ, throwing it out there, it's not just a conversion. You know, you say, I converted to Christ. It's a little deeper than that. It's a transformation. Romans 12:2 tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a transformation. You ever watch that show? I didn't watch a lot of it. Transformers? You know, they're, whatever they are, a robot. They turn into a big truck. That's not just a conversion. That's a transformation. It's something totally different. When you accept Christ, you're going to be different. You're still going to be the same old Charlie, nature-wise, but there's going to be a difference. There's going to be something that's going to make people ask questions. And look, you discipleship just by the way you carry yourself, the way you handle bad situations, what you do on Saturday night, Wednesday night, whatever. That's a discipleship in itself. Responding to Jesus' call leads to a new life. You're not just transforming everybody else or somebody else. Transformation. You accepted Christ, but it's going to make you grow too. It's going to make you learn stuff. Marked by a desire to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. What's that old saying? If it looks like a whatever, like a cat, smell, you know, whatever. It's a cat. All right? If you're a Christian, well, better know you're a Christian. Just by your demeanor, the way you carry yourself. This includes seeking intimate Christ. I'm sorry. This includes seeking to imitate Christ in all areas of life, just not Sunday morning. Okay? Brother Glenn, I steal from all the pastors. Brother Glenn, you say, you know, you come to church on Sunday and you live like hell the rest of the week. Remember that saying he used to say? Those of you who was here. But all areas of our life, including work, relationships, our relationship with people, our work, how you act here in front of the preacher. Is that what you do at work Monday morning? The call to follow Christ is also a call to partner with God in fulfilling the purpose of this earth. I threw this little saying. Daryl had it on the board on at the marquee thing out there, whatever you call it. And I might have it not exactly verbatim. God equips the call. Not called the equipped. Don't waste your time wasting away getting it all right and preparing yourself and say, okay, now I'm ready, because you'll never get there. You will never do it. Jesus already did it for you. Let him work through you. Turn yourself over to him. God equips the call. He's going to call you and he's going to say, go do whatever. Well, I can't do that. He can. He can use anybody. The core of Jesus' call is the invitation to follow me. What he tells his disciples, follow me. This involves a personal commitment to Jesus, learning from him and obeying from him. Matthew 16:24 tells us, then Jesus said to his disciples, now look, I told you a while ago, be careful what you ask for. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. What's it mean to deny yourself? Your fleshly habits, nature, the things you used to do that you shouldn't have done. I finish with this. So authority, Jesus has all the authority. The command to go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. The promise is Jesus will be with you always. He said, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of age. We got the assurance of Christ's continual presence. He's there. Encouragement for the difficult task of global discipleship starts at home. Starts right here. If you're a parent, got kids, or you might have kids. No, let's play. That's another joke. You can start right there in your house. Spreading the word to them. Getting them equipped. Teaching. Carry that outside. Just keep them. Hope you see the point, what I'm trying to say. Don't get hung up on, he says, go make disciples of all nations. Your little part, our little part, right here at home, is a part of that. And it spreads. Just think about the stupid COVID-19 we had way back, where it started, wherever it started, you know, how it spread. Same thing with spreading the word of mouth gets out long ways. Following Jesus is a lifetime journey and learning and growth, where one is continually shaped into his image. The Great Commission is a call, the ongoing work of building God's kingdom through the transformation of individuals and communities. So what I'm fixing to ask you to do, you know what to do, what he called you to do if you're a Christian. There's your little blueprint, what we need to do. If you're not, if you don't have Christ, today's the day of salvation. Don't know what's going to happen when you leave here. Right now, you got that perfect opportunity. As the musicians comes forward to get ready to play, I'm going to get you to stand. We're going to pray. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Do it right there where you're at. You need to come see me, come see me. If you need to pray, pray. But do not miss the opportunity if you need Christ. Today's the day. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for that assurance that you're always there. And just be with us each one of our circumstances that's come along, that we never lose focus of you that's in control and in charge. Just thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.